Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And we will be doing our Torah study this week on Exodus, the 12th chapter. A very long chapter, but an important chapter. And since we've already, we're still in January, and we're already getting letters on the controversy of when the Passover should be kept, on the 14th or the 15th. And this chapter is the main chapter on it. I thought it would be good to put the Torah study online because of that. And I think we have messages we've done on this. I think Eric did a message on it also. When you go over the messages, it's extremely clear that the Passover is on the 14th, meaningly between the evenings of the 13th to the 14th is when you keep the Passover. And at the end of the 14th, going into the 15th, starts unleavened bread, and which we're going to see here called the night to be observed, the night that Israel left the land of Egypt. Of course, people go to the internet and they come up with all kinds of exotic ideas, but we'll see that today. So again, it's not a sermon. I'm not going to take very long. But instead of reading all 51 verses and then going over it again, I'm just going to read from the beginning and go over it as we're doing it. I may go over to some other scriptures. And of course, this chapter is not just about the timing of Passover, but that's the main thing I'm going to focus on today, and then give some other things. And then afterward, we will open up for comments or questions. So starting in chapter 12, and maybe I'll even go to verse 10 of chapter 11. It says, "And Moses and Aaron did all these miracles before Pharaoh, and Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not send away the sons of Israel from his land." So now we're coming up to the last plague, and Yahweh's intervention, and then chapter 12, verse 1. "And Yahweh said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be the head of the months to you. It shall be the first of the months of the year to you.'" So again, sometimes people will be saying, "Oh, I'm not sure if the equinox is the dividing of the land, the dividing of the year." And I'll say, "Well, what do you think divides the year?" And they'll say, "Oh, I don't know." I'll say, "Well, starting from creation, you know, there's almost 6,000 years. We're not still in year one. We're not in month 9,430. We're not, you know, so the year has to change. So you can't just say, "Well, I'm not sure if it's the equinox, but I don't know." That doesn't cut it. And in reality, if you study the subject, no matter where you're studying it from, there really is no other parameter for starting the year than the equinox. You know, because remember, Israel is only a nation in the land of Israel from 445 BC. So you can't go by barley in this area here, because Israel wasn't here before that. And there's still thousands of years that changed. When Noah is on the ark, he's not in the land of Israel when he's on the ark. And what's happening? The year is changing. It's even telling us the months that he's going into the ark and the months the rain stopped. So clearly, the year cannot just be by barley in Israel. You know, and I say that barley may be the agricultural earthly sign that we got the year correct, but if you go to Exodus 23:16, it says, "Also the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor and what you sow in the field, also the feast of ingathering," which is the feast of Sukkot. Every time it's talking about it in connection to the timing, it's called the Feast of Ingathering. Why? Because it's the time they're in gathering the crops, you know, the harvest crops at that time. And it says, "After or at the going out of the year, at your gathering your work from the field." So what does he mean, the going out of the year? This is only the seventh month. It's the agricultural year. The agricultural year starts in Aviv and it ends in Tishri, or even before Tishri at that time. If you go to Exodus 34, we see the same thing. In verse 22, "And you shall observe a feast of weeks for yourself, the first fruits of the harvest of wheat, also the feast of ingathering after the turn of the year." What is the turn of the year? It's the equinox. The turn of the year is when the earth passes the equator, you know, or the sun passes the equator, however you want to look at it, in the spring, it's called the vernal equinox, and then 6 months later, it happens in the fall, which is called the autumn equinox, and that's the turning of the year. You're turning from the seasons. In the Bible, from Genesis 8:22, we have two seasons. We have winter and we have summer. So again, I'm not going to get into this more than that as far as the equinox goes. We have the biblical calendar book that talks about this. We have messages online. But it's very clear that you can't just say you don't know. You know, you have to come up with something or you're still in year one. We're still in the year of creation. We're just in the, like we said, whatever thousands month we're in. But we know that every year the year changes. So that means there has to be something that changes the year. And the only thing that we see in the Bible is the equinox, confirmed, of course, by the barley that comes from there. And then verse 3 says, speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they shall each take for themselves an animal of the flock for a father's house, a flock animal for a house. So the 10th of what month? The 10th of Aviv. Aviv, or Nisan, is the first month according to the biblical calendar. And if a house is too small for a flock animal, he and his neighbor next to his house shall take according to the number of souls, each one according to the mouth of his eating, you shall count concerning the flock animal. A flock animal, a male without blemish, a yearling shall be to you. You shall take from the sheep or from the goats. So it's a flock animal for Pesach. You can't take a cow, but you can take a sheep or a goat. A flock animal, a male without blemish, a yearling shall be to you. You shall take from the sheep or the goats. And it shall be for you to keep until the 14th day of the month. And all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evenings. And this word is bin arabim in the Hebrew. And it literally means the end of the 13th, beginning of the 14th. Whenever you see bin arabim in scripture, it's always talking about the beginning of a day. So very clearly, you keep it until the 14th. You don't keep it after the 14th. So when the 13th of Aviv is ending and the beginning of the 14th is coming, that's the Passover. Now, if you look at Leviticus 23:5, I won't go to all the scriptures. Again, you can go to the biblical calendar book we have online. You can download it for free. You can ask us for a copy. We have it printed. But you'll see there's several times. I don't remember off the top of my head how many, at least 4 or 5 times in scriptures, that it specifically mentions the Passover and unleavened bread. And here, Leviticus 23:5 says, in the first month, on the 14th of the month, between the evenings, bin arabim, is the Passover to Yahweh. And on the 15th day of this month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread, eat unleavened things, 7 days. So again, very clearly, we have 4 or 5 references. The 14th is Passover, the 15th is unleavened bread. Now, if Passover was, if you're killing the Passover between the evenings of the 14th and the 15th, then the Passover would be on the 15th. Because they're not eating it before sunset. They're eating it afterward. They're eating it, in many cases, late in the night, maybe 10, 11 o'clock, because it's being prepared from that time. So again, very clearly, not once, not one reference will you ever see it saying Passover is the 15th day of the month. Every single time specifically it says the Passover is the 14th, unleavened bread is the 15th. So really there, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, we have 4 or 5 witnesses clearly telling us that the Passover is not the same day as unleavened bread. The other thing in scripture, we say always look for the pattern doesn't change. When you're looking at the spring feast to the fall feast, they mirror each other, right? It's a mirror to each other. So when you're looking at the spring feast, what do you have? You have the day of Passover, and then you have 7 days of unleavened bread. So technically, together, it's an 8-day feast. There's no break in between. It's an 8-day feast with the first day being separated from the other 7 days. In the fall, in the mirror, what do you have? You have 7 days of Sukkot, and then you have the last great day, the 8th grade, 8th day. So again, you have a 7-day festival, and then you have an eighth day to it. Only the eighth day coming at the end. So in the beginning, you have the first day separated from the seventh. In the fall, you have the seventh and then the last day. And it circles itself. It circles itself. 2 8-day feasts. Very, very clearly. In both feasts, what do you have? During days of unleavened bread, you have a set-apart day the first day. You have a set-apart day the seventh day. During Sukkot, you have a set-apart day the first day. And then the eighth day is the set-apart day. So it mirrors itself. It mirrors itself. And it works that way, you know. And very, very clearly, you'll never see anything different in Scripture but that. You'll always see the 14th between the evenings of the 13th and the 14th is Passover. And the next day, the next sunset, 24 hours later, starts the holy day of unleavened. And as we'll see, the night to be observed, the night that Israel left Egypt. Now, as I read the rest of this chapter here, we'll see time-wise, that's the only way that this can happen. And it's confirmed, I'll confirm this to you about 10 times in this chapter. So anybody that wants to come up with something different, they're grasping at straws and they're pulling things out of the air. But if you're going to look at the Bible, if you're going to look at the New Testament, because clearly, when did Yeshua keep the last Passover? Did he keep it on the holy day? Of course not. He kept it at the beginning of the 14th. And then he was taken around midnight, right, by the police. And then the next day, the daylight portion of the 14th of Passover, he was crucified. And then at sunset started the holy day. It starts the holy day of unleavened bread. Because while he's on the tree of crucifixion, what did they say? Let's take him down that he not be on the tree on the Sabbath day. So what do people say? People that won't accept the Bible, people that have to get their own way, what will they say? Because it's so clear cut, they'll say Yeshua didn't keep the Passover. They'll say he kept something different. So again, they don't want to let Scripture interpret Scripture. They don't want to be wrong and they don't want to admit it. So they have to twist or change Scripture to keep their way. But today it's only the Exodus we're talking about. So let's go in here and each time we confirm what we just laid out, I'll show it to you. So we read verse 6, you're to keep it until the 14th day, and the assembly will kill it between the evenings of the 13th and the 14th. And you shall take from the blood and put it on the two side doorposts and on the upper doorposts on the houses in which they may eat. And they shall eat the flesh in this night. So which day is the Passover? The 14th day is the Passover. What is the Passover? The Passover is the killing of the Passover lamb. So when are they eating the Passover ceremony? In this night. It's got to be the 14th. Because if you're doing it at the end of the 14th, then they're not eating it in that night. They're eating it in the next night. So clearly they eat the Passover in this night, the 14th of Aviv, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened things and bitter herbs. Do not eat it raw or at all boiled in water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its inward parts. It's very interesting that the Samaritans, who have the longest unbroken chain here in Israel, they're the only group that never totally went out in diaspora, you know, and the Samaritan priests that are up in Mount Gerizim, which have done DNA tests, they are Levites. So they're not Samaritans. You're thinking of Gentiles like Simon Magus. I believe they're probably Sadducees, the leftover of the Sadducees. But regardless, they're Levites. They're Levites, the priests that are up there. And they keep it exactly like we do. They keep the Passover the same time as we do. And it's very interesting because we've been up there around the time they do the Passover. And we've seen pictures. And they literally take the lamb and they put it on a pole, just like the way Yeshua was crucified. On the tree, without breaking a bone, the same way. So that's very interesting. And you shall not leave any of it until the morning, and you shall burn with fire that left from it until the morning. And you shall eat it this way, with your loins girded, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in awe. It is the Passover to Yahweh. So again, this was the first Passover. It doesn't say every Passover to eat that way. But the first one, why? Because they're going to be leaving in the morning. They're eating it in preparation and in awe. And then verse 12, and I will pass through in the land of Egypt in this night. And as we're going to see, when does the death angel pass? At midnight, right? Why is it called Passover? Because the death angel passed over the people. When is the Passover? The 14th day of Aviv. So if it's called the Passover, that means the death angel had to pass over in the 14th, not the 15th. So there may be two evenings to a day, a beginning evening and an ending evening, but there's only one midnight. And if the Passover was killed in the end of the 14th, that means the death angel would have passed at midnight on the 15th. And Passover would not be the 14th day of the first month. It would be the 15th. So the fact that it passed over at midnight, and the 14th day is the Passover, that means it had to be late 13th, early 14th when it's killed, and midnight on the 14th when the Passover, the death angel passed over. So he says, I'll pass through in that night, and I will strike every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man even to livestock, and I will execute judgments on all the Eloah of Egypt. I am Yahweh. And the blood shall be assigned to you on the houses where you are, and I will see the blood, and I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike in the land of Egypt. So the blood is the sign. We know from Leviticus 11, what does it say? The life is in the blood. We know from John 6:53, Yeshua says, unless you drink my blood and eat my body, you have nothing with me. So very clearly, this is an important scripture, that the blood is a sign, because the blood is important. And verse 14, and the day, which day? The day of Passover, shall be a memorial for you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to Yahweh for your generations. You shall celebrate it forever. So the day is a memorial. This is confirmed if you go to 1 Corinthians 11. Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And what does Paul say in verse 23? He says, for I received from the Master what I delivered to you, that the Master Yeshua, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke, and said, take this, this is my body, which is broken on behalf of me. This do in remembrance of me, as a memorial. In the same way, the cup also, after supping, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Each time you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For each time you may eat this bread or drink this cup, you solemnly commemorate the death of the Master until he's coming. So this is the memorial he's saying to do, that we're looking in Exodus 12 and verse 14. The day is a memorial. And very clearly, like we said, we know 100%, even the people who are doing the Passover wrongly at the end of the 14th, going into the 15th, they admit Yeshua did it at the beginning of the 14th. There's no way around that, because he didn't die on the holy day. The Bible clearly tells us the holy day was that sunset. And that's why they come up with this. They have to concoct some new theory that Yeshua didn't keep the Passover. He was doing something absolutely different. Even though 14 references in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, clearly say the meal he kept with his disciples was Passover. 14 references call it Passover. So again, it's got to be something. Why people can't just accept the simple truth of Scripture is it's a rebellious spirit, but it's not what Scripture is telling us. So back to Exodus 12. The day is a memorial, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to Yahweh for your generations. You shall celebrate it as a law forever. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. So here it is. We just went over the Passover, right? And now we're up to unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, just like we read in Leviticus 23:5. The 14th day is Passover. The 15th day is unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall cause leaven to cease from your houses. Now again, here again proves the Passover could not be on the 15th, because he says you are to eat the Passover with unleavened bread. So if you already took the leaven out, why would you even say that? It's like the third day of unleavened bread, if we're all meeting together, I wouldn't come out and say, if you said, Don, would you like a piece of bread? I would say, only if it's unleavened. We already took the leaven out 3 days before that. So why here, if on the first day of unleavened you're taking out the bread, why on the Passover day, the day before, would Yahweh have to say, eat it without leaven if there's no leaven? And the reason is because the 15th day starts unleavened, the 14th day is not unleavened. So Yahweh's saying, even though it's not unleavened yet, you don't eat the Passover with leaven. On the first day, cause leaven to cease from your houses. For anyone eating any leaven, that soul will be cut off from Israel from the first day until the seventh day. So again, what do we say? There's an eight-day feast because the first is not connected with unleavened bread. And on the first day shall be a holy assembly, Mikran Kadosh, and in the seventh day a holy assembly shall be to you. Not any work may be done on them, only what must be eaten by each soul, that alone may be done by you. And you shall observe the unleavened, for on this very day I brought out your armies from the land of Egypt, and you shall observe this day for your generations, a statute forever. So what we're going to see here now is, what is he saying? On the day of unleavened, on the first day, he brought Israel out of Egypt. But he didn't bring Israel out on the Passover. And we'll see that. It's the day after the Passover that Scripture tells us he brought them out. So it can't be the same day. The Passover can't be the same day as the first day of unleavened, because clearly Scripture is going to show us that it's the day after the Passover, not the Passover day, that they left. And in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. And this is the big scripture that confuses people. Because they're saying, well, Don, over here where it says at evening, you're saying it's the 13th. But over here it says at evening, you're saying it's the 14th. What is it? Well, the difference is in English, most translations just put at evening. But in Hebrew, it's two different words. In Hebrew, when we're looking at the Passover, it doesn't say at Erev. It says bin erabim, which is between the evenings, and it's the beginning of a day. Over here, this word, where he says at evening, the 14th day at evening, it's only erab. It's a different word. So yes, this is at the end of the 14th. The later evening, going into the 15th, starts unleavened bread. Until the 21st day of the month at evening, again being erab. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. For anyone eating any leaven, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, among the foreigners, and among the natives of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. You shall eat unleavened bread in all your dwellings. And Moses called to all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take of the flock for you and for your families, and kill the Passover. And take a bunch of hyssop and dip in the blood of the basin, and touch some of the blood in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. Okay, this is actually even where the mezuzah, like we know the Samaritans do, above the door. And you shall not go out anyone from the door of his house till morning. This is an important scripture, because what we're also going to see is that Yahweh says, when did Israel leave Egypt? They left by night. They left by night. And yet here, on the Passover night, you couldn't leave your house. Until Boker, till morning, until the sun is coming up. So they did not leave Egypt on the night of the Passover. That is clear. When did they leave? The following night, as we're going to see. So not anyone shall go out of the door of his house until Boker, morning. And Yahweh will pass through to strike Egypt. Like we said, midnight on the 14th is Passover. And he will see the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, and Yahweh will pass over the door, and he will not allow the destroyer to come to your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this word for an ordinance to you and for your sons forever. And it will be when you come into the land which Yahweh will give to you, and he has spoken, you shall observe this service. And it will be when your sons say to you, what is this service to you? Then you shall say, a sacrifice of a Passover of Yahweh, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he struck Egypt. And he delivered, and the people bowed and worshipped. And the sons of Israel went out and did as Yahweh commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it happened at midnight. Yahweh struck every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh and the one sitting on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the prison house. and every firstborn of the animals. So what are we to tell our children for every generation? Like he says here in verse 27, a sacrifice of a Passover of Yahweh who passed over your houses. That's why Passover is named Passover. And what day is Passover? The 14th day of the first month. Unleavened bread is the 15th day. So simple. So simple if you just let Scripture decide. Because like I said, there may be a beginning evening and an end evening to a day, but there's one midnight. It's called Passover because the death angel passed over at midnight on the 14th day. And Pharaoh rose by night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one who had died. And he sent a proclamation to Moses and Aaron by night, and it read, arise, go out in the midst of my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go and serve Yahweh according to your word. So we know that from Exodus 10 and verse 28 and 29, I'm not going to go there, but Moses said to Pharaoh, you will not see my face again. So apart from the movie, Moses did not come before Pharaoh. Why? Because Yahweh said nobody leaves their house until morning. And if you look up this word in the Hebrew, it clearly says it could be a proclamation. So Pharaoh, when he sees all the dead, he's sending a proclamation to go. It would be a scroll that would be open, and he's reading to Moses, leave. And Moses said, okay, we're going to leave, but not now. We can't leave until the break of dawn. And that's what they waited for. Take both your flocks and your herds, as you said, and go, and bless me always. And the Egyptians were strong on the people to hasten to send them away from the land, for they said, all of us will be dead. So why are they so urgent? Because here it is, Pharaoh is sending to Moses probably 2, 3 in the morning, and they want them out immediately, and the people say, no, we can't leave our house until Boker, till 6, 6:30, 7, till the break of dawn, whenever that would be at that time. And the people took up their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothing and their soul and on their shoulders. So what we're going to see is, why was unleavened bread called unleavened bread? What is the reason for it? Because the people had to leave so quickly that they didn't have time for the bread to leaven, right? When is this? This is the next day. This is not the Passover night. This is the next day that this is happening. So the day of Passover, they had leavened bread. So unleavened bread has nothing to do with the 14th because they weren't rushing to leave. It has to do with the next day, right? So now, during the day of the 14th, they didn't have time to let the dough rise. So when they're leaving at the beginning of the 15th at night, they have unleavened bread. So the 14th and the 15th can't be the same day because there was no urgency on the 14th. And they did have leavened bread. It rose. And that's why Yahweh said, don't use your leavened bread for the Passover. Use your unleavened bread. Use unleavened bread without leaven. And the sons of Israel did according to the word of Moses. So everything Moses said, what was part of what he said? Verse 22, and you shall not go out anyone from the door of his house till morning. So clearly from Scripture, they did not leave during the night of the 14th. They left on the next day during the daylight portion of the 14th. But as we're also going to see, let's read here. And they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And Yahweh gave favor to the people in the eyes of the Egyptians. And they granted their request and they plundered Egypt. So now let's logically look at this, okay? Between the evenings of the 13th and the 14th, they kill the Passover. They prepare it in the beginning of the night. They eat it during the night, maybe 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, they're eating it. Midnight, the death angel passes over, midnight of the 14th. Pharaoh, in the night, maybe 2, 3 in the morning, is sending a proclamation to Moses saying, get out of here as quick as you can. The people don't leave their houses till morning, as Scripture tells us. But now when morning comes, what's the first thing they're doing? They're pilfering the Egyptians. So before they're leaving, and remember, you have about 2 million people. They're going and they're pilfering the Egyptians. They're getting their stuff together. And as we're going to see here in verse 37, the sons of Israel traveled from Ramses to Sukkot. The problem is they didn't live in Ramses. As we know, they lived in Goshen. Goshen is a suburb about 6 kilometers from the main spot of Ramses. So now, what you have to do is, you're pilfering the Egyptians, you're getting your stuff together, you're getting your families, and 2 million people with herds and flocks and animals and children and carts and handicapped, you're getting all these people together from Goshen, and you're going 6 kilometers to Ramses. So that's what's taking most of the daylight portion of the 14th. And again, if you look, I think the Ten Commandments does a very good remake of this. You see that things were not done haphazardly, that every tribe had a standard, and there was the blowing of the shofar. Every tribe had their own sound. So this is the point. They were doing an orderly leave from Egypt that's coming. That would have taken the whole daylight portion. They've actually tested this with military commanders that have said that it would take at least the daylight portion of that day to get 2 million people from Goshen to Ramses. And then verse 37, and the sons of Israel traveled from Ramses to Sukkot, the men being about 600,000 on foot, apart from little ones. And also a mixed multitude. We said that word is Arab. You know, Arabs that came, went up with them, and flocks and herds and very many livestock. And they baked the dough which they brought out from Egypt into unleavened cakes. For it was not leavened because they were driven out from Egypt and they were not able to delay. So we see unleavened bread is not associated with Passover. It's associated with hurrying out of Egypt, not having the time, which is the following night. And also they had not prepared food for a journey for themselves. And the time of the dwelling of the sons of Israel, which they dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. And it happened from the end of 430 years, it happened on this day, all the armies of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. So is this the day of the Passover? No, it's the next day, and I'll prove it to you. Let's go to Exodus 16:1. Now this is the next month. It says, they pulled up stakes from Elam, and the congregation of the sons of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they're going out from the land of Egypt. So it's 1 month later, and it's the 15th day, the day they left. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1. He says, observe the month of Aviv and perform the Passover to Yahweh, your Elohim. For in the month of Aviv, Yahweh, your Elohim, brought you out of Egypt by night. By night. Now, where were the Israelites on the night of the Passover? They were in their homes, and they were not to leave till the morning. So they certainly didn't leave Egypt on the night of the 14th. When did they leave, according to what we're reading? The next night. They woke up at Boker, they went and pilfered the Egyptians, they got their stuff together, they marched from Goshen to Ramses, and the beginning of the 15th at night, they're leaving. Is there another scripture that says it? Yes, Numbers 33:3. Numbers 33:3 tells us exactly that. So we don't have to leave anything up for debate. Numbers 33 and verse 3. And they pulled up stakes from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the next day after the Passover, the sons of Israel went out with a high hand before the eyes of the Egyptians. So Deuteronomy 16 said it was at night. It was the night portion of the day. And it's the 15th day of the month, and it's not the day of the Passover. It's the next day. How on earth can people get it wrong? Because they're hard-headed. Because they don't want to follow. I mean, all we did was read the scriptures. We're not adding anything. We're not taking anything away. But the scriptures clearly tell the whole point here. That between the 13th and the 14th, you're killing the Passover. You're eating it in the beginning of the night. At midnight of the 14th is the Passover, because that's when the death angel's passing. They don't leave their house till Boker. And then at morning of the 14th, they're pilfering the Egyptians, they're getting their stuff together. During the daylight portion, they go from Goshen to Ramses, and scripture tells us, not the day of Passover, but the next day, in the night portion of the day of the 15th, they leave from Ramses. How simple. How simple when we let Scripture interpret itself. And now let's go to verse 42. It is a night of celebration to Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. Was the 14th the Passover a night of celebration? Of course not. It was the worst night. Like it said, there wasn't a house where people weren't dead. There's screaming. There's moaning. People don't know if maybe their relatives have died. Nowhere, as we're reading the Passover account, does it ever say they're celebrating and happy. But the next night, the night of the 15th, yes, it's a night of celebration. And that's why, on the 14th night of the first month, between the 13th and the 14th, the same way the Israelites did it, and the same way Yeshua did it, that's when we do the memorial when he said, on the night he was betrayed. What night was that? Between the 13th and the 14th. That's the night we do the memorial, the Passover to Yeshua, and it's a solemn night because we're thinking of his death. Then the next night, when unleavened bread is starting, the 15th, we call what we call the night to be observed, like it says here. Now, that's when we're thinking of leaving Egypt, leaving sin. We're not thinking about the death of the firstborn. We're not thinking about Yeshua's death on that night. We did it the night before. This is the night that we celebrate, that we've been called from death to life. We've been called from darkness to light. It's the night to be observed. One day later, exactly like we said, we read in Numbers 33:3, not the night of the Passover, but the very next night. It's a night of celebration to Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This night is a celebration for all the sons of Israel to their generations. Now again, we're in the same chapter. We're reading it in chronological order. And this is not the same celebration that we read 40 verses before this at the beginning of the chapter. The beginning of the chapter, he's talking about the Passover. And here, he's talking about something totally different. The very next day, leaving Egypt, the next night, the night to be observed. And he says, you are to also observe this throughout your generations. So first he said, observe the Passover for your generations, and also the night to be observed. The night we were freed from our sins, freed from Egypt. And Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No heathen may eat of it. And every man's slave, a purchase of silver, you shall circumcise him that he may eat of it. A foreigner or a hired hand may not eat. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside of the house, and you shall not break a bone in it. And we know with Yeshua, they did not break his bones. John 19, 33 through 36, I won't go there. And all the congregation of Israel shall prepare it. Another thing very interesting, which makes the Passover different than any other sacrifice, never says the priest prepares it. It says the congregation prepares it. This is the one sacrifice that was done by the people. Why? Because of what it represents. Your priest, your pastor, your rabbi, whoever, he's not the one who's going to bring you into the kingdom. Everyone makes their own dedication. So the fact that eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life, and that Yeshua died for each of us, it's a sacrifice each of us have to do. And that's why on the Passover, there is no male nor female, there is no bond or free, that we all sit the same way. Everybody on Passover sits reclining, even the servants. Everybody partakes of the Passover because each of us need the sacrifice of Yeshua. So it makes it very different that it's the only sacrifice you see in Scripture that is not prepared by the priest, but by the congregation. And when a visitor shall stay with you and will do the Passover to Yahweh, let every male to him be circumcised. Put him in covenant relationship, and then he may come near to prepare, and he shall not be like a native of the land. But any uncircumcised person, any non-covenant person, may not eat of it. And that's why when we do the Passover today, we don't allow guests to come. And certainly if there is maybe our children that aren't baptized yet that are there watching, nothing wrong with that because the Bible says it. When your children ask, this is what you tell them. So our children should be there. They should be learning it, but they certainly would not partake in the symbols because it's only for the covenant people to be renewing our covenant. One law will be to the native and to the visitor, the one staying in your midst. And the sons of Israel did as Yahweh commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it happened on this day, Yahweh brought out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt by their armies. So, again, a long chapter, but an extremely important one as far as the timing and also the significance of Passover. But like I said before, I can't imagine how, when you put it together and you read it, how sometimes people can get it so mixed up. But inevitably, we always have new people coming every year, and it's always a question that comes up, the timing of it. But very, very clearly, 100% unequivocally from Scripture, the 14th day of the first month, between the evenings of the 13th and the 14th, is the Passover and unleavened bread, and the night to be observed is the very next day between the evenings of the 14th and the 15th. Alrighty, so I think I will stop there, and we will open the floor for comments, questions, suggestions, or other.